Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So on May 25th, 2019, the website Mental Floss released an article that was called The 15 Best TV Series Finales of All Time. Does anyone want to take a whack at what's on the list? You might get a snap as a reward if you guess right. MASH is one of them. Good job. All in the Family wasn't on the list. I know. Yell 'em out. Seinfeld is on the list. Andy Griffith is not. Dallas is not either. No. Cheers is.
Emergency.
Nope. All right. The Sopranos. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm just going to list like seven. But if you got them right, that were on the whole list of 15, I'll give you credit for them. Snackbox is up here, you can get some after church. Breaking Bad, MASH, Seinfeld, Star Trek The Next Generation. So, seven, top seven. And my personal favorite, The Office, is not on there, which made me very mad. But TV series are infamous, you know, for their mixed reactions, right? We watch them and immediately we have these reviews in our head. Some people are satisfied with how the series ends and what happens to the main characters, how the plot is resolved. And then there's me, who I will watch every single bit of a TV series except for the season finale, the series finale, because I just can't bring myself to be brave enough to watch those last half an hour or 45 minutes. Among those shows that I still refuse to watch the last episode of, at least until a few years ago, was the series finale of Little House on the Prairie. So my mom will tell you that I was obsessed with Little House when I was little, probably about Anna and Logan's age. I had all the DVD box sets because we didn't have TV, all 9 seasons, and I would watch all of them except for the very last episode. It is called The Final Farewell, and technically it is a finale movie. And kind of here's the synopsis of it that I finally brought myself to watch just a few years ago. Cue the lights. So it's a series finale, Little House on the Prairie. And the town of Walnut Grove is revealed to have been built on a land that was owned by a railroad tycoon. Bump, bump, bump. The citizens deal with the loss of their town and their lifestyles and their families, and some must decide how best to respond to this explosive event. It's quite dramatic. I won't give away how it ends, for those of you who are just gunning to know how Little House on the Prairie ends, but I will tell you that the final scene of Little House on the Prairie, it looks something like this. The townspeople take one long look at Walnut Grove, this town that they built their lives around. They turn around, they hold hands, they walk out of town, singing Bringing in the Sheaves. The ending really is left open. We don't really know what becomes of the characters, where they go, what they do, or where they end up settling after they leave Walnut Grove. All we know is that they walked out of their town that day, singing without looking back. And today's gospel lesson doesn't necessarily involve railroad tycoons or a little town in the Old West. But it does involve this courage to leave a place that the disciples held dear. These followers desperately wanted to follow Jesus and to live according to his teachings, but there was something that was holding them back. One of those people wanted to go with Jesus, but didn't want to risk not having a place to sleep. Another wants to wait for time to grieve his father and to bury him before following Jesus. And yet another wants to go and say goodbye to his family and his friends at home. But Jesus replies to all of them and says, "No one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." This spring, as I'm sure was the same here, many of my Amish neighbors planted their crops for the year. And instead of using tractors, they used hand hand a horse-drawn plow to make those straight lines to plant. And admittedly, as someone who can't draw or identify a straight line to save my life, this is true, I can only imagine the ability of them to form identical symmetrical rows, both in their fields and in their gardens. But it's because they only look forward. They don't avert their eyes, and the result are beautiful, geometrically pleasing rows of corn. Jesus is telling his followers today that they must follow him without looking back for anything, without saying goodbye to their hometown, their friends, or their family. They must follow him with any regrets or mixed emotions, and that is hard. I mentioned I don't like TV series finales, but I don't really like endings or pauses at all, really. See, I'm human, and as a human, change is difficult. But we persevere, and I've ended my sermon for the past year or so with a challenge to you all. And this week, I have two challenges that are found in this week's gospel lesson, and they kind of tie together. Challenge number one is to not look back. This year has been filled with a time of joy and sorrow, with laughter, with tears. But we can reminisce of all the times that we've spent together this year in Bible studies and picnics and service projects together. And this year we've taken these members here at Ground Oak and at Mount Zion, created a family of faith. And while all of that is meaningful, well, it is important that we look forward. How will we go forth and serve our community? And how can we grow as a congregation, becoming the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ here on earth over the next 10, 15, 20, or 50 years? And what will bring us there? So some food for thought. And challenge number two is to keep your path straight. I've talked a lot this year about loving our neighbors unconditionally. And the greatest commandment that we find even today in our second lesson is found in the next section of Luke as well, in chapter 10. And the King James Version reads as such. It says, "Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, and with all of thy strength, and with all of thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." See, this word neighbor in Greek doesn't necessarily just translate to someone who is in our own community or someone who lives next door. This word for neighbor literally translates to any other person, irrespective of nation or religion, whom we ever have the chance to meet. And it's our mission as followers of Christ to love, to respect, and to honor the lives of all of God's people. And so often, myself included, we kind of fail to do so. See, if loving our neighbor is the standard of this straight line, mine personally looks a little weighty. So often, our personal comfort, our time, or our priorities kind of get in the way of us truly loving others. But it's important to remember that as Lutherans, this wavy line does not indicate failure. God loves us in all of our mistakes, all of our wavy lines, our misgivings, our failures. And he brings us back to that straight path and encourages us to try again. So as we go forth today, we look forward in our church's history, both here at Ground Oak and at Mount Zion Lutheran Churches. May we always keep an eye on the plow, and may we always love all of our neighbors. Amen. Please rise first.